This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome, everyone, to the Saints Hour. Mike Haas, and filling in this week for Mickey Loomis is Jeff Ireland, Senior Vice President, Assistant General Manager, College Personnel, along with his working group of Mike Parenton and Kai Harley. Mickey's still working, just can't step away for the show today. So I think it's your 10th season as you kind of lead college scouting. Is that correct?
That is correct. Year number 10.
So two straight wins, you know, you got a week off to get healthy. Just keep rolling with the changes inside the building and don't let the noise outside the building get in. You're 4-7. It's been a heck of a 2 weeks, but you got to still work your way back into the conversation.
Yeah, you know, that's right. And look, the year hasn't gone the way we wanted it to go, you know, but that's just part of our league. You know, it's why everybody watches. It's unpredictable. The last 2 weeks have, been different. Dennis is, I would call him a good friend of mine, and I've known him for a long time, and, you know, wish him well. But on the other hand, Darren Rizzi, I hired Darren when I was a GM of the Dolphins out of Rhode Island to be our special teams coach. So I'm super fired up for Darren. He's done a heck of a job these last 2 weeks, brought in some different thoughts and changed some things up. And, our coaches have took to it. Our players have obviously taken to it. And, it's a 1-0. Want to know week every week, you know, just prepare for this week. And I think, our players have really bought into the message that Darren's brought.
And I probably talked to you about this before, but Darren wasn't the head coach that he is now. So Parcells was Miami. You were in Miami. He started in Miami at 09 as just an assistant special teams and then became the special teams coordinator. Eventually, you and Bill moved on, but he stayed. And he went through Sparano, Todd Bowles, Joe Philbin, Dan Campbell, Adam Gase, five coaches, two coaching midseason changes, and he emerges out of the tunnel. That, to me, tells you a lot about the man that, you know, most coaches clean house, right? But they kept Darren Rizzi.
Tells you everything. It tells you about his, number one, his knowledge for the game, his ability to build relationships with everybody in the building, not just the players. Darren's he's a real witty, smart. He's got street savvy. You know, he's blue collar. You can tell. He's family oriented. He's humble. You know, so all those are great traits. He's very collaborative in our process. We get a lot of credit for finding, you know, the Deontay Hardys and the Rashid Shaheeds and the JT Grays and. Well, I don't think he was around for JT, but certainly Deontay and Rashid, you know, he's a big part of that process. It's very collaborative. That process, you know, Darren's got a big part of it.
Man, so many things can get lost in the stats, with the day that Taysom had in the fourth quarter. I want to ask you quickly about Foster Moreau. No catches in the first half. In the third quarter, he's got a 2nd-and-8, plus 19. Another 2nd-and-8 from your own 36, plus 22. And then in the same drive, now you're into the fourth quarter, it's a 3rd-and-10. He really catches the ball for like a 6-yard gain. He does the final three. I mean, it makes it 4th-and-1. Maybe if it's 4th-and-3, maybe it's a different decision. But 4th-and-1, Taysom comes in, touchdown, 21-14. But, man, and this team on 3rd-and-10 plus has been a struggle, like it is for most teams. But, man, those catches by Foster Moreau get lost in the game book, but they were humongous.
They're huge. And, you know, he's a huge part of our football team. He came back off the injury that he had last year, and he was a new – you know, we got him last year. He was kind of new to the team. But this year, man, he took ownership of this football team right in training camp, right in the OTAs. He's a – And, you know, he is just the epitome of just a really good teammate, a true professional. He's got tremendous leadership, which really kind of gets hidden, you know, beyond, you know, with Double D and Kamara and McCoy and those guys. But he's a tremendous leader. He is the one that's going to say something if he sees something, which is exactly what you want. He's just a really good pro, and we're super glad to have him.
Don't know where you were, if you were still up in the booth or on your way down. Take me through what you were watching with the Chase Young play. Now, again, you win the game, and if you lose the game, we don't talk about this like we do. But the play to me, he plays it perfectly. Like if he runs on, if he sprints on, quarterback notices him. The offensive line notices him. He just kind of like, he's almost in motion. He's just kind of jogging. He gets to the position, and the quarterback's going to go, dude, screen left. This is gold. And the offensive line's got to go, screen left, gold, because they don't know he's there. What were you thinking?
Well, it's kind of like, no, gosh, no, dadgummit, you know, it's kind of one of those like, oh, crap, you know. You know, we don't have 11 men on the field. We're late, and all of a sudden, yes, yes, yes is, you know, like, you know, you kind of wonder, like, Chase is an amazing player, but does he make that play if he's lined up right? You know, it's kind of one of those jokes that,
or if he sprints like, you know, out there and they notice him. I don't think they even knew he was coming. He was so nonchalant about it, and he got to the position. He basically barely stood, and they snapped it.
Yeah, I'm not sure they could have done anything about it, you know, anyway. I mean, I know they noticed him. He's 6'5", 285. Yes. So he's hard to notice or hard to miss. But, yeah, it's just one of those, you know, fortunate plays. It could have gone the other way. You know, that's certainly not what we're trying to do is disguise anything. And that was, you know, our coaches said it in staff meetings. Like, that's a mistake. You know, we got to get that cleaned up, you know. But yet, we're very fortunate.
I said this last night with Coach Rizzi and also Clint Kubiak. So you're trying to make this not the Taysom Hill show, so you talk around it, but we have to spend a little time. We'll talk a little bit more with him, with Mike Ball later, about the whole kind of, you know, draft process. But this guy had a fumble and an interception, and we don't talk about it. Like, not even part of the game. I know it ticked him off, and it may, you know, but I mean, I just don't know if you could ask, you know, if you've ever seen a game like that from an individual player.
Well, I can't remember one. If it was, it was probably in the last, you know, 6 or 7 years when Taysom was here.
Right, in Seattle, you know, yeah. When he gets, as Clint said, I was like, why out of the blue do we get, you know, Taysom's everywhere. He had the hot hand. You know, sometimes you feel a guy with a hot hand, you roll with it.
Yeah, look, Taysom's, you know, he just embodies the spirit of someone that loves to play. And every time he makes a play, he gets up with that grin. That, man, he was like, you know, if his grin could speak, it's like, man, I love that. That was fun. And it's like every single play. And, you know, he's a battler. He's unique. He's a better teammate than he is a player. And that's saying something. So just very fortunate to have him. And, you know, we'll get into, you know, the process of how we got him, and we got extremely lucky. And but it's a process, and it goes to show that, you know, those are just moments that you feel pretty confident that our scouting process works.
The Saints Hour will continue with Jeff Ireland here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We are talking with Jeff Ireland, Senior Vice President, Assistant General Manager, College Personnel. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I do want to go back a little bit, and I remember in camp, I may have talked to Kai about this, but one day in Irvine, it's you and Kai and Parenton. You're away from the field, you know, the action, and you look like you had been in Papillon. Like, I mean, you had, your beard was just, it looked like you hadn't slept. And I was going, and I thought about it, you know, the position injuries that you went through in Irvine, wide receiver, O-line, was so extraordinary. This must have been an enormously challenging camp, one, but out of it, You get guys like Kevin Austin. You got offensive linemen that came in that, you know, that produced. And so the end result is positive, but man, it just felt like the way things happened in Irvine, you guys must have had some late nights.
You know, we didn't have a ton of late nights, which is a credit to our pro staff. They were prepared for, you know, anything and everything that happened out there. Obviously, you go out to Irvine and you don't really expect to have that kind of, you know, those kind of injuries. I mean, there's something, you know, that we've got to get cleaned up in terms of how, you know, why we're getting some of these soft tissue injuries. But, you know, look, there's a great communication, and that's something that comes from Mickey, with Kai and Michael and the pro staff and myself and even, you know, our coaching staff, just kind of, you know, what we're looking for. Okay. You know, don't cry over it. It's part of the process, you know, next man up. And that's just kind of the mentality of, you know, what we do is, you know, one guy goes down, you got to be ready to, you know, bring another guy in. No one really cares, you know, and it's just going to stress the team if you don't do it and you don't act quickly. So we're always prepared for those things. And that's just part of it.
And I would think a perfect example of that would be Marquez Valdes-Scantling. He's with Buffalo on October 14th. They trade for Amari Cooper. So then Buffalo releases him. You guys scoop him right up. I mean, you needed the help at the position, but still, you know, other teams needed help at the position as well. I mean, is that, you know, take me through that process and how that all worked out for the Saints.
Well, like, I'm going to give the pro staff all the credit. I think I was on the road scouting colleges when that happened. And so, you know, that's something that, you know, the Mike Parenton and his staff, you know, did. And, you know, perfect timing. You know, obviously, you know, when you get trades at the deadline and one player goes to another player, or another, so one player goes to another team, that team is probably going to let someone go. And so I'm sure there's a tracking process. They're either going to be heavy. I don't know this. I didn't get any calls, but I'm sure there's trade calls, you know, about MVS, you know, when that happened, and credit our pro team. That's a player that's helped us immensely in these last two wins.
Five catches, three touchdowns, you know, that deep threat when you didn't, you know, when you needed it most. And, you know, wow. The number of Kansas City Chiefs on your teams with Super Bowl rings. And I only say this because they've got to be good character people, because I remember Mike Hodges telling me at camp that Willie Gay could have come in and said, "What are y'all doing? This is insane. This is how we did it at Kansas City, and we've won back to back. What are y'all doing?" And he didn't do any of that, right? And they're just good character people. And I don't know Mark West. I haven't had a chance to say hello to him yet, but I just feel like those Tano, Tyron, Colin, Willie, Mark West, there's a bunch.
They're all super high makeup guys, and they've competed at the highest level, and they've won a lot of games. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, Kansas City has moved on from those guys. But you know, we're pretty strict about who we bring on our team. Also, I mean, that's one thing that I know Mickey and I talk a lot about, and well, with our staff, is we got to be very careful to bring, you know, a bad apple into our locker room, because it's the most prized possession that we have. Is our locker room and the character and the culture that we have in the locker room. And, you know, it's quite frankly, the reason we've been able to rebound and win these last two is that our locker room is strong. It's got strong leadership, the makeup and the, just the football character that these guys have. They like to work. I like to come to work. And I think, Mrs. B and Mickey and Dennis, Lausha have provided a place that, you know, that people like to come to work. You know, that's not only players, but staff. And, you know, that's the kind of people we wanted in our building and in our locker room.
Percentage of your day that deals kind of with the current Saints roster, maybe the player out there in the pro world that can make your roster better, waivers, whatever, dealing with pro scouts and then college scouts. I mean, what is, you know, is it 30-30-30? What's the representative balance of kind of what you have to do on a day-to-day basis?
Well, I would, you know, look, my, from in the fall, I mean, it's 95% college. You know, I'm grinding on college players. I'm on the road scouting. You know, our pro department is well equipped with handling the day-to-day process of finding, you know, pro players from time to time, especially around the trade deadline. I'll watch some, you know, players that we're looking to evaluate, and but after the trade deadline is over, you know, my eyes are back on college. I mean, we're literally, there's thousands of players that need to be evaluated. And that's one of the reasons we added to our college department. We've added, you know, from a national scout standpoint, we've added, you know, an area scout standpoint, we've added a scouting assistant. I mean, there's just not enough hours in the day to get all the college players evaluated. And so our pro staff handles the pro stuff, and our college staff really kind of handles our college stuff.
More with Senior Vice President, Assistant General Manager, and College Scouting's Jeff Ireland. This is the Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We are talking with Jeff Ireland, Senior Vice President, Assistant General Manager of College Personnel for the Saints in his 10th year. I got to ask you, you were a kicker at Baylor, Southwest Conference back in the day, went to the East-West Shrine Game, if I'm not right. Am I right on it?
No, Senior Bowl.
Senior Bowl. My apologies. So what is going on? Justin Tucker has missed 6 in 11 games. He hadn't missed 6 or less in any of his seasons. Dustin Hopkins has missed 6 in 10 games, thankfully. Younghoe Koo has missed 7. The last two games, kickers in the Superdome are 1 of 7. And I'm including all of Hopkins because, quite frankly, Peyton Turner shouldn't have been called for holdings. They're 1 of 7. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it, especially from guys who I considered gold. Gold. I can only remember one Younghoe Koo miss, and that's when Peyton Turner blocked in 22. I mean, we're talking about Justin Tucker, Hopkins, and Younghoe Koo. What am I missing here?
Hey, look, it's more mental. It's more mental than it is physical.
I knew
you know that.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's like the 3 foot putt or the 2 foot putt, and once you got the juju in your head, it's there. And you know, I actually predicted up in the box that Dustin was going to miss this, you know, that third one, just because I could tell that the juju was in his head. And like, I don't know what Rizzi's doing. He, you know, Rizzi's a special teams guy. He's the one giving him the juju. I don't really know what's going on. You know, he played Atlanta in Atlanta, and I think you know, Koo was like 5 for 5 in the game winner, and you know, and then he you know, kind of doesn't have a great game with us, and then Hopkins. I mean, I don't know, Hopkins coming back to the, you know, to the scene. You know, we had him in camp that year, had him on our roster, and you know, didn't go well that year either. So, you know, who knows? I mean, it's kicking is again, it's very mental. It's tough to get that bad feeling out of your head once it goes in.
On the last Younghoe Koo fourth quarter that could have tied it, the 20-17 kick. So the block early came from the defensive right side, John Ridgeway. So on this kick, he's kicking through the south end zone. All the beef is on the defensive to Younghoe Koo's right. So he's thinking in his head, he's pulled, hooked his first two. He did make one. So now he's like, I see these big hands going up to his right. I've watched the kick 100 times. He starts the ball out like in his head. He goes, I'm just going to slice it in. I'm going to miss those big hands, kick it left, and just kind of like in golf, a nice little fade in. Because if you watch it almost halfway up, you're like, there's no way this ball misses. But he overcooks it. He overslices it. But I think he kicked it that way because of the big hands that were up to his right, because he'd pulled the other two. So in his head, he's going, I better start this out a little right. So the defense was set up perfectly.
Well, that could be true. You know, I think you're taught to not look at those big hands or where they're at. You just kick the ball. You know, I wasn't able to slice or hook or anything like that. So, you know.
But my story's way better, though, right?
Your story is way better,
yeah,
Mike.
But unfortunately, see, you're actually a kicker. So you know.
I'm a has-been, but, you know, look, it's just – You get the ball up high, get it up quick, hit it straight, and don't worry about the guys in front of you. Let those guys, the big guys, handle those other big guys. And that's what I always taught. And when I was a coach, that's what I taught as well. So, but I like your story.
Yeah, let's go. I mean, that sounds good. Overcooked it, slice, you know, great win. And finally, for Jari, right? I mean, these games, I don't know what, you know, Drew and the rest of those guys being there, and there were a lot of them, and that says a lot about Jari. But you want to win because you want to win for the team. Everyone, it's a team. But getting that win for Jari with his name up in lights and with Drew and everybody there, man, special.
Unbelievable special. I mean, that's, you know, and Jari is such a nice guy. And, you know, these guys are legends of the game. And I get to see him every single day in the office with this big smile, this humble attitude, this quiet personality. That's just one of the guys. And then to see the ring on his finger, and he, and then the grin that he had after the game. I got to see him post game
dancing.
I have to look at your name with me around, with my arm around you, just to look at it together. And it was just a cool moment. His wife was there with him, but it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And I'm glad we got the win, so he'll be able to remember that as a really special moment that we won. And he got his name in lights up on the stadium forever.
Sitting next to Archie Manning up there in the building, also pretty cool. And now, I mean, it's time. I mean, I don't know what they want in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but if you just look, I mean, I don't know what you want. Pro Bowl, All Pro, started 169 of 176 in New Orleans. He was a stalwart. I mean, I don't know what you want. I know guards don't get the, you know, pub that they should, but it's time, right? I mean, it's just time.
It's definitely time. He's so well deserving of it. What he overcame, you know, in a small school to come in here, and be as dominant as he was for as long as he was. I mean, he was dominant for 10 years, or, you know, I know he played more than 10 years, but got me dominant. You know, the Pro Bowl or the Hall of Fame is such timing. You know, it's timing. And it's, you know, who's the first ballot Hall of Famers that are coming in that are just no-brainers? And is there three or four of those no-brainers? And so he's going to get in. And I think this is the year. And I just hope it comes to fruition for him. There's no one more deserving.